Yesterday, Stephanie and I went to the home show. I don't know if you've ever been to the home show out at the fairgrounds. It's quite an ordeal out there. We had a good time. They have all kinds of things, anything pertaining to the home that you might want to buy. You need a fat wallet if you want to have a real good time out there. I can tell you that. I learned that pretty quick. Walked into the place. You know, my budget on... Stephanie and I really hadn't talked, but walking in, my thought was, here's how much I want to spend while we're here. Now, if we have to, if she really, you know, leans on me a little bit and looks at me just right, $20 is what I was thinking, right? That's how much is going to get out of my wallet. We're walking around. We've been walking around for a while. And we come upon this kitchen set, and this guy, he has this cookware, and he's cooking stuff, and a sign here, he'll cook, you know, show you how to cook a whole meal in 20 minutes. So Steph kind of gravitates to him, and she's asking him some questions, and they're about 20 seats, chairs. You know, there's no chairs anywhere in that place. And so I grab a chair. We've been walking around for a little while. I'm tired. So I sit down and relax, and she's talking. This guy's good, okay, first of all. He makes some money because he's good, right? He gets talking. He hands me a little bowl of salad, and I'm eating a little bit. He gets me to move up to the front row, get a free pocket knife, move up to the front row. Next thing I know, we're in the middle of this whole demonstration selling this cookware. And I'm thinking to myself, how did this happen? But he's selling this cookware. He's going on and on, showing you all this stuff. And I can tell pretty soon, like, he's drawing her in. I mean, he's this stuff, and I'm sure it's worth every penny, but just let me tell you, the entry-level set that he's talking about, this is entry-level. This is not for you serious people. This is you just starting. Your starter set, $1,500, okay? That's right, $1,500. So, I mean, he's talking, and I'm thinking, I know good and well you don't have anything for $20. That's my limit. But he's getting her, you know, he's getting her a little bit. And once periodically she's looking, she'll turn and look at me, and they're ganging up on me, the two of them. And so he's starting to draw her in, but I'm thinking, buddy, unless you've got something that will improve my golf swing, that will make my car faster and grow hair on my head, I'm really not interested. If you got something like that, we'll start talking. But this guy knew how to glorify what he was selling. He was good. To glorify, to make it look good. And so today I want to continue what we did last week. If you weren't here last week, let me catch you up real quickly. A couple passages in John shows us Jesus when he was here. Jesus in John 12:27, he talks about Jesus is talking to the Father, and basically he's saying, God, I don't want to go to the cross, but that's the reason I came. And so he says, verse 28, Father, glorify your name. Then in chapter 17, he talks about glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And then in verse 4, he says, I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus' goal was to glorify God. That was his objective. And we looked at a couple definitions last week, and to simplify that even further, to glorify something means to make clearer the glory of God by one's actions. So to make God look even more clear to people. He is glorious, but how do we show the world that He's glorious? And that's what it means to glorify Him. Another definition is to honor with praise, admiration, or worship. And so when we worship God, we're glorifying Him. Then we talked about the fact that our nature is to glorify ourselves. Romans 15, Paul, he instructs those in Rome, he says that they need to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please yourselves. And the reason is, it's our nature to please ourselves. Who knows more about what you want than you? Besides God. No one knows more about what you want than you do. I mean, we are experts on what we want in life. And our nature, our tendency is to glorify us. But our goal as Christians is to glorify God in everything. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we see Paul talking about the fact that verse 9, he says, we make it our goal to please Him. So when I was baptized, when you were baptized, you died to yourself. Now we live for God. And so it's kind of like when I meet with couples for premarital counseling, I'll periodically ask them how many weeks till the wedding. And then I'll usually remind the guy that that's how many weeks you have of freedom, that when you get married, you are no longer able to do what you want anytime you want. You belong to her. She belongs to you. You guys are coming together. You will be one. That's what you're signing on for. You will be one after that date. And it will be wonderful. But if you think you don't live single and be married. And as Christians, we can't live our own lives and belong to our Savior. We have to die to ourselves. And so today I want us to talk, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Today I want us to talk about how do we glorify God. We understand that we need to. We understand that's what we've agreed to. We understand basically what it means. But in what ways can we do that? What does that actually look like? So 1 Corinthians 10:23. Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Sometimes we're doing something or spending time or even money on something, and in and of itself, it may not be wrong. But we may feel guilty that I'm putting so much into this, or I'm so excited about this, why am I not that excited about God? And it's easy to justify it and say, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. I spend a lot of time in this. I just love it. I'm just passionate about it. But maybe I'm glorifying it too much and I'm not glorifying God. And Paul says, reading on in this verse 24, he says, nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. The context is eating meat sacrificed to idols. And their conscience was offended by that. Others realize that there's nothing wrong with that. But Paul says, don't do what you want at the expense of hurting someone else. And so verse 31, Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Verse 33, Paul says, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. How did Paul glorify God? He did it by not worrying so much about what he wanted, but he tried to please others. What will help someone else? That's how Paul glorified God. And he also was very concerned about the lost. He's continually trying to reach someone who's lost. And in that way, he glorifies God. And so I want us to just make note of seven ways. I know there are more, but let's just run through seven ways that we can glorify God. And the first one is in giving God credit. It's tempting for us to take credit for things. I'll give you an example. Dylan Waller is wanting to be a minister, wanting to be a preacher. And he's wanting to get a scholarship at Oklahoma Christian. And the university offers a scholarship, but you have to send in a recording, a video of you preaching a sermon. And so Dylan did that, recorded a video. It has to be, I think, at least 8 minutes long. Dylan's is in the range, but it's on the long side. That's impressive to me. If you've ever given a speech that had to be 8 minutes long, you'll run through your speech before you'll get to 8 minutes. But that recording was posted on Facebook, YouTube, and so I watched that, and I was impressed. For a young man that's not done that very much, not done it a sermon of that nature, to do as well as he did, in watching that, I'm watching that, I'm thinking, this young man has a gift, this man has talent that God has given him, and he has a heart for it, and he's pursuing it. And I was so proud of him, so I bragged on him. But he sends me a text back, and his text says, thank you very much, but the video wasn't me. God did that. Here's a young man that people are bragging on, complimenting. And he has the wisdom to say, you know, I feel like God really, really did that through me. God blessed me. God guided me. God helped me to do that. He deferred glory to God. And that's a way that we glorify God, is giving God credit for things. Somebody may say, boy, you're really lucky with that. Well, I don't think so. I think God was watching over me. And those are moments that we need to take advantage of. We need to let our light shine. In letting our light shine, we can glorify God. Christians, in some circles, have the reputation for being judgmental. I think it's why the world knows. I think it's why the lost knows at least one scripture. It used to be John 3:16. I don't think so anymore. The lost knows at least one verse in the good book, and that verse is, do not judge, lest you be judged. They have felt judged. Now, they may need to feel judged by God, but Christians have, in some circles, gained a reputation for being judgmental. But we shouldn't have that reputation. As Christians in the world, we should have the reputation for being the most loving, the most generous, the most sacrificial, the most forgiving. I have heard a song by Brad Paisley. The title is Those Crazy Christians. Anybody heard that song? It won't get a lot of airplay. It wasn't written. You can tell it wasn't written to be a chart topper. But in the song, he talks about Christians being somewhat fanatical. They're different. Okay, they're really the word crazy. They're dedicated to their religion, but each little verse in the song, he says, but when your grandma's in the hospital, who brings you a meal to your house but your neighbor who's a Christian? And he tells in the whole song, look it up, he talks each time about those Christians and how supportive they are. He says one of their leaders will fail in a sinful way, big time. You turn around and what's happening? Those Christians are forgiving him. And that should be our reputation. If we let our light shine, people will know us in that way. Putting others first is a way to glorify God. Husbands, if you want to glorify God, put your wife first. Serve your wife. Wives, if you want to glorify God, put your husband first. Serve him. Get up each day and decide, today I'm going to put him first. I'm going to put her first. Let me talk about driving down the road. You ever drive, not husbands and wives, just anyone, you're driving down the road and one lane, you can tell by the signs, this lane is going to end. We have to merge. There's construction, what have you. Merge, it's coming up. Merge, another sign, merge left. Another sign, merge now. Like, that's the one you want to be over by then. So anyway, if there's a lot of traffic, you'll all be in this correct lane and you're backed up, right? Once in a while, here comes somebody blazing by you, right, to go up front and cut. Does that bother anyone else but me? It makes me want to lose my mind. It does. In fact, one time I held my lane and this semi-truck needed to, he was doing what I was talking about. He was needing to get in and he wasn't paying attention. And I knew he was going to have to force me to back up. And I tried to hold my lane until I almost killed my whole family. And I backed off. Why can we not just slow down and let someone put themselves first? Why can we not glorify God by saying, go ahead. Do I have to let it bother me? Do I have to get angry with this person who I may feel like is the world's biggest jerk that day? Do I have to do that? Or can I not have a spirit that says, go ahead. Denying self is a way to glorify God. When's the last time that you said no to you and yes to God? Sometimes we may not feel like, we may be a little tired. We may have had a tough day and we don't feel like coming for Bible class. Or I don't mean we're sick. I mean, we just feel a little selfish that day. But when we say no to me and yes to God, we glorify Him. When we do that in our giving, when we do that with our time, when we see a movie that we would like to watch, but we realize this movie does not glorify God. This movie glorifies the devil. Okay? Now, it may come in the package of violence. It may come in the package of profanity. It may come in the package of sexual immorality. It may be enticing. It may be entertaining. What's most difficult for me are a movie, I see a trailer and this movie looks funny. I mean, whoever thought this up, just the basic premise of it, I'm laughing. I haven't even seen the lines yet, but you see this preview and then you see the rating. And I realize that movie doesn't glorify God. Can we say no to us in order to say yes to God and glorify Him? Can we do that with our music? Can we do that with television shows? There are certain shows that Stephanie and I used to watch. Seen a lot of the episodes. But the show progressed to the point that we had to stop. I can't watch this show and glorify God. Number five, unconditional love. Now these three really fit together. Unconditional love, bearing with others, and forgiving others. That's a way for us to glorify God. To love someone in spite of their ugliness, in spite of their bad behavior, in spite of their annoyance, in spite of how they treat you, to love them anyway, to bear with them, to bite your tongue, to not return evil for evil, and even to the point of forgiving them. I've had people betray me in the worst way, in the most hurtful way, in a most painful way, and it took me a while. But I eventually forgave them, and it helped me a lot. I mean, when you forgive someone that you had a hard time forgiving them, you realize how much freedom that gives you, what a load that removes from you, and how good it is for you. But when I did that, I glorified God. When we hang on to a grudge, when we hang on to bitterness, we glorify ourselves. When we turn the other cheek, we glorify God. There was an occasion where I was confronted by a Christian who was upset with me about something I had done. And they ripped me up one side and down the other. And in the moment, I have to give God credit because it's really not me, but my nature is peace and to pursue peace because I avoid conflict. And so I stayed in that mode and I held my tongue and I felt like I was being treated one way, but I didn't return evil for evil. And since then, each time I think of that instance, I have to tell you, the human part of me hurts. The human part of me feels like that was left, I was mistreated, and I would love to go back and stand up for myself. The human part of me, you see what I mean? When someone has hurt you and you didn't swing back, the human part of me wishes I could go do that. But the spiritual part of me knows, Elliot, that's how you glorify God. Let people do what they do. Turn the other cheek. When we resist sin, we glorify God. But think about this, the opposite of that is also true. When we engage in sin and give in to sin, we glorify the devil. We glorify ourselves. But each time we say no to Satan, we glorify God. If you are at the ball field and you're coaching your kids' team, your kids' soccer team, and you're at the ball field, or your kids' little league baseball team, softball team, what is your number one objective? Let's just start from this end, and let's say my number one objective, we're at the ball field, the game is to win. I mean, we're here to win, right? We're not giving trophies. I don't believe in giving trophies for everybody that was there and they all look the same. I believe there's a first place, second place, on down. So we're there to win, we might think is our primary objective. But we might be a little more mature and we might say, you know, winning would be nice, but we want to play hard, play fair, be good sports about it. We may be another step over and say we want to, you know, we want to have a good time. After all, it's a game. So we're going to have a good time. We're going to get after it. We may win, we may lose. If we are at the ball field, our number one goal is to glorify God. That is our goal. I mean, it's an easy answer, by the way, if there was a test on these sermons. The answer is easy. It doesn't matter what the question is. The goal, the job, is to glorify God. So let's apply it in a few other ways. If I'm in the workplace, and if you're in the workplace and you have a job promotion that's coming up, it's possible, or you're trying to gain job security, these things are on your mind, but that's not my number one goal. In the workplace, our number one goal is to glorify God. And if glorifying God means I make my job less secure, or if in glorifying God I miss out on the promotion, so be it. Who are we here to please? If we are in school, our number one goal is not to fit in. Young people, number one goal is not to be popular, it's not to be liked, it's not even to make good grades. In school, in the classroom, our number one goal is to glorify God. In business dealings, in business, our number one goal is not to make a profit. Our number one goal is to glorify God. One of our members came by my office a couple weeks ago. And we talked for a little bit, and then this person was leaving, and I asked them, where are you going or what are you doing? And they said, I'm going to go glorify God. That struck me as odd, and I said, well, what do you mean? And the person said, I've got to go evict some renters. I have to. And as a landlord, you can understand landlords have to evict renters sometimes, or they will go bankrupt. And this person said, you know, I don't want to do it. I have to do it. It has to be done. But, you know, above all, I want to glorify God. That's a mature Christian. In everything we do, it's not always easy. In John chapter 21, Jesus is talking to Peter, and he's talking about what kind of death that Peter would experience in John 21. And in verse 18, Jesus tells Peter, he said, there will come a day when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you. And Jesus is talking about being crucified, telling Peter that that's how he would die. But look at how this is spoken. Verse 19, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Sometimes glorifying God is painful. Sometimes glorifying God really costs us something. I was talking to a young couple, a couple in our congregation who are struggling financially. Money's tight, money's difficult, more debt than income. But they had been thinking, and they had realized, you know, we're not giving to God like we should. Now, it's tempting to look at a situation where, well, money's tight, so we don't have any to give, but they didn't do that. And they decided that they would give a certain percentage, 10%. And they made that decision. And then soon after, something happened, and it was kind of one of those extra income opportunities that fell in their lap. And you can see how just logically that's a beautiful thing. You think, you know, we put God first and God takes care of us. And then that extra income opportunity fell through. And they still put God first. And God has blessed them since, and He will bless them. It looked to me like a test, but they passed. When we put God first and glorify Him, it's not always easy. It's not always painless. It may cost us something. But every day we have choices. And so many times our choice, we have a choice. This choice will glorify me, and this choice will glorify God. Every day. I want to close with this scripture here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, Paul says, on the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. Does God test us? Scripture says He does not tempt us to sin. But God will test us. In fact, isn't our whole life a test? I mean, isn't from when you're born to when you die, isn't that a test of do I love God? Is God number one? Have I died to myself? Is my goal in life to glorify God? My whole life is a test. But every day, tomorrow, we will wake up and tomorrow will be full of tests. And I'll have choices to make. And I can either glorify me or I can glorify my Father in heaven. And the beauty is, as I put Him first, I find so many treasures that I didn't know were possible. When we glorify God, we find peace, we find joy, we find happiness. And so I remind us, our goal in life, every day, every instance, is to glorify God. We're going to sing a song of encouragement in a moment about doing that, and to God be the glory. And there may be someone here this morning who has a situation in your life that you've not been glorifying God and you'd like prayers. We'd love to pray with you, lift you up. There may be one here this morning who's never died to them. You've never died to you. You've never had your sins washed away. If there's something we can do to help you today, please come while we stand and sing.
To God be the glory, great things He has done.